Pop Culture Junkie is taking a short break. Until we return, enjoy our We Love the 2010 series again, or for the very first time. We'll be back soon with all new episodes.
Pop Culture Junkie is bringing you a special five-part series celebrating the best of the 2010s. Let's face it, the last decade was a rough one, but thanks to pop culture, we got through it. On this episode of We Love the 2010s, the Pop Culture Junkies look back at the years 2016 and 2017.
2016 is the year that gave us these important questions. Are you Team Batman or Team Superman? Are you Team Cap or Team Stark? Who was Becky with the good hair? Hey, is that a clown behind you? Pop Culture Junkie presents...
We Love the 2010s!
The movies, the music,
the television,
the technology,
the trends,
the memes.
We love the 2010s.
So entertain me right now.
Why did you come here?
Because I have good news.
What?
Amy Brandt, the casting director. She was at your play, and she loved it. And she loved it so much that she wants you to come in tomorrow and audition for this huge movie that she's got.
I'm not going to that.
What? I'm sorry?
That will kill me.
Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling sang and danced their way into our hearts in La La Land. It won 6 Academy Awards, including Best Director for Damien Chazelle.
You know what award it didn't win? Best Picture.
Yeah, I remember that really awkward moment where, wasn't it Warren Beatty, I think, is the one who incorrectly announced La La Land as the winner, but it was in fact Moonlight, won Best Picture.
Yeah, the only thing I can remember from La La Land and the Academy Awards that year was Leonardo DiCaprio finally getting an Oscar for Revenant.
La La Land brought us a white Ryan Gosling explaining the importance of jazz to an all-white cast. You know, jazz, a white person's music that they invented themselves.
On paper, I should love everything about this movie. I love Emma Stone. I love Ryan Gosling. I love Pasek and Paul, who were the songwriters behind this, who also did Dear Evan Hansen and The Greatest Showman. So there seems to be no reason for me to dislike this movie, except for the fact that I disliked it greatly. I was very bored. I found it extremely depressing and a waste of my time. So I'm personally glad it didn't win Best Picture.
Justin Timberlake couldn't stop the feeling, whatever that feeling was, in 2016.
Can't Stop the Feeling was the lead single for the movie Trolls, which Timberlake had a part in.
Yeah, I remember the part where he says, can't stop the feeling, and then after that where he goes, dance, dance, dance. I'm like, I can't remember anything else.
I know every word of this song. I still listen to the song probably once a week because it is on my children's playlists.
You know, I hosted a musical bingo at the bar that I work at a couple weeks ago, and this song came on, and I said, wow, what a shitty song. Who actually listens to this? And I looked over, and there were some children at one of the tables, and I was like, you probably listen to this.
Children do listen to Can't Stop the Feeling. They also dance to Can't Stop the Feeling. They also sing along and know every single word to Can't Stop the Feeling, and have since 2016. So it's one of those that it started out strong. I liked it, and then I was very annoyed by it, and now it's like the wind. I don't even notice it anymore.
Well, somebody liked it because it debuted at number one on the top 100 and won a Critics' Choice Award, Golden Globe, and Grammy, and was called the perfect summer song.
This was the last major hit for Justin Timberlake. I can't think in my head of a bigger song that he's put out since then, including the songs from Trolls 2.
Can't Stop the Feeling replaced Happy for me in the world's most annoying and overplayed song.
Justin Timberlake, how the mighty have fallen, man. He started putting out singles like Sexy Back, things that you could actually kind of get sexy to. No one's getting sexy to Can't Stop the Feeling.
Something is coming. Something hungry for blood.
What is it?
the Demogorgon.
Netflix had a massive hit with their original series, Stranger Things, in 2016. Starred Winona Ryder, my absolute favorite human on the planet, David Harbour, and a bunch of unknown teen actors who would go on to be big stars like Millie Bobby Brown and Finn Wolfhard.
Stranger Things was the first Netflix original that I started binging and couldn't get enough of.
I absolutely love Stranger Things. I love playing Dungeons and Dragons in my own time, and the fact that all these kids kind of sit in a basement and that's where all of their names for everything comes from. I'm here for it.
I remember watching the first season in the common area of my college dorm and loving it.
Season 4 is going to be coming out in 2022, and it's just as popular now, I think, as it ever was.
Oh, these kids have all gone on to be huge stars, too. I mean, they've been in so many blockbusters since then, especially Millie Bobby Brown. I think that she's just become such kind of a little fashion icon in her own right. It is kind of funny to think back and see pictures of them in 2016, though. They look like such small babies. Now they're all with stubble and voices changing.
Bouncy, catchy, and possibly irritating, depending on who you ask, children's song Baby Shark is now at the center of abuse allegations against Oklahoma County jailers.
The kiddie bop called Baby Shark invaded our earholes in 2016.
This is another example of a song that I've had to listen to a million times. And I will tell you that as annoying as Baby Shark is, it hits a little different when you actually have a little baby doing the little hand gestures and looking at you and go, Mommy Shark, and suddenly you're like, this is my favorite song ever.
Yeah, I gotta say, I hated this song before having a child, and now my 14-month-old is always like, do-do-do-do-do-do. I'm like, oh my God, my heart.
I don't have a kid and I still love Baby Shark, so maybe I'm the kid.
So Baby Shark was created by Korean children's video outfit Pink Fong and then went on to become popular enough to become a Kellogg's cereal, a stage musical. There was a viral dance challenge, so it kind of took on a life of its own.
I was very confused because I feel like Pink Fong didn't create this song. I do have vague memories of being at church camp as a youth and singing something like Baby Shark with the grandma and the daddy and all that kind of stuff. And so I remember when this song came out, I was like, did they go to my church camp?
Jesus Shark, do 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 do, Jesus Shark. Do, do.
Baby Shark came with so many different renditions too. I've heard a trap Baby Shark. I've heard a country Baby Shark. I've heard a house Baby Shark. I've heard that Sesame Street do Baby Shark. Everybody's doing Baby Shark.
Baby Shark. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Baby Shark. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Baby Shark. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Baby Shark.
Historically, the refrigerator has been a showcase for photographs, artwork, and reminders. But with stainless steel finishes, much of that functionality disappeared, leaving the refrigerator to serve simply as a place to keep our food fresh. Well, we're about to change the game.
2016 was a year that smart appliances really took off, with smart refrigerators and other household gadgets making a big splash at the Consumer Electronics Show.
These are appliances with computers embedded in them that you can talk to, and they can all talk to each other. So your kitchen appliances can all be friends now, which is something I've always wanted.
The refrigerators would have cameras so you could be extremely lazy and see inside without opening the door.
I don't need a camera for my fridge. I know I haven't gone grocery shopping in at least 6 weeks. It's completely empty.
Samsung, I actually have an idea for you, so call me up. Do one where your fridge can connect to your Bluetooth so I don't even have to get up and tap on my fridge to see what's inside. I could just have a camera in my fridge already connected to my phone on my Bluetooth. And be that lazy.
I need a lock on my phone that doesn't let me order from Uber Eats until I've cleaned out my fridge.
These are the kind of things that could either make life very easy or start a home appliance invasion.
Cell phone video shows Harambe dragging the little boy through the water a week ago last Saturday. Zoo officials say they had no choice but to kill Harambe to protect the boy.
In 2016, a gorilla at the Cincinnati Zoo was killed after he grabbed a child who climbed slash fell into his enclosure.
Vigils were held to honor him as far away as London, and the shooting was criticized by a lot of celebrities like Ricky Gervais and Pierce Morgan, of all people.
Harambe tributes became the meme of the year in 2016. There were Harambe songs, and a statue of Harambe was illegally placed in Manhattan.
This is all we could talk about ever, and I remember we just said it every day, R.I.P. Harambe, R.I.P. Harambe, and Some people still say it to this day.
What about the child?
That's what I was saying when this whole thing happened. I couldn't give two craps about Harambe. And I was like, well, am I the bad guy in this situation? Like, I'm more concerned about the kid. And then I saw people like blaming the kid. I'm like, he's a child.
I think I might be the bad guy for actually not giving two shits about the kid. R.I.P. Harambe.
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory. And I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard.
There's no avoiding it. 2016 was the year Donald Trump was all over the news, and soon phrases like MAGA and fake news were everywhere.
Yeah, because Trump won the Republican nomination against a field of, well, less dynamic candidates.
And somehow saying grab them by the pussy didn't disqualify him as a candidate slash future president.
I remember before this election, everyone was very private, I feel like, about their political views and which party they stood for. But after this election, I feel like everyone became vocal on which side they stood on.
This election completely just changed, I think, how we approach social media too. I mean, Facebook became this just chamber of disinformation. And I mean, Donald Trump led his entire presidency through Twitter. Social media has just been completely changed since 2016.
I would say that the 2016 election was the moment that the White House and just the United States government became a reality TV show.
Well, Donald Trump was, you know, famous from being on The Apprentice, and obviously his whole history is a business owner and everything, but it was a reality TV star turned president. And it was interesting because essentially not since Ronald Reagan have you seen someone who was, you know, previously famous as a pop culture celebrity and then entered the White House. And I think that's what allowed for people like Kanye to enter the conversation and talk about running. And, you know, people have said stuff like, oh, let's get Oprah and The Rock into the White House, and definitely changed the way that people looked at the role of the president, for sure.
I will also add that I think I sprouted a lot of gray hairs in 2016 as a result of this election. Does anyone embody the decade more than singer, actor, fashion icon Lady Gaga? The answer, as usual, no. In the year of Our Lady Gaga, 2016, she released the album Joanne, supported Hillary Clinton in the presidential election, appeared on American Horror Story Roanoke, and received a Golden Globe for Best Actress in a Miniseries for her work on American Horror Story. And that's the year of Our Lady Gaga, 2016 edition. Blessed be.
You're letting him kill Martha.
What does that mean? Why did you say that name?
Find him! Save Martha!
Why did you say that name?
DC brought us two very different comic book movies in 2016. Suicide Squad and Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. Suicide Squad had Will Smith, Jared Leto, and Viola Davis. Batman vs. Superman had Batfleck, Amy Adams, Henry Cavill, and annoying AF Jesse Eisenberg.
What a disappointing group of movies this was. I mean, seriously, thank God we got a new Suicide Squad, because these were just, thinking about them makes me itchy.
Yeah, and David Ayer has said a lot about how that, you know, Suicide Squad, the director's cut, is so much better, and that Jared Leto actually killed it as the Joker, but no one has gotten to see it. And, you know, I don't know, if Zack Snyder's Justice League taught me anything, it's that, yes, you can improve certain things, but you cannot improve the core of the story that you're trying to tell and the cast. And to me, I felt like Suicide Squad especially missed in so many levels that there's no way that a cut of that exists somewhere that is redeemable.
I loved Jesse Eisenberg. He's great in other things.
I will say that we at least got to see Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn for the first time and Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman for the first time. And I think both of them just absolutely kill it in those roles. Martha!
Martha?
Martha! Why'd you say that name?
2016 had everyone feeling anxious all the time. So it was no surprise that 21 Pilots had a hit with Stressed Out.
It was released in 2015 off their album Blurry Face.
You know, I remember listening to this song for the first time and being like, yo, I feel this in my core. Like, there is just the lyrics about how it sucks to be a grown-up, student loans, you have to wake up, go to work, and make money, and how it would be so much better if, like, you're being sung to sleep by your mom. Like, I feel all of that to this day.
Let's see, I've never heard this song, but now I feel like I have something that I can relate to as a grown-up.
So teaching high school when 21 Pilots really hit it big, a lot of my students were obsessed with them. Some of my students got 21 Pilots tattoos. And I think that that actually turned me off from listening to them because I felt like this was for the youths and I just wasn't getting it. And I also saw that they were a two-piece that just involved like a singer and a drummer. And I was like, what is that? That's not a real band.
So maybe 21 Pilots means two guys as one pilot.
But I actually started listening to 21 Pilots in 2020 over quarantine because they came out with a really awesome song over quarantine. So I'm a kind of a late comer to 21 Pilots, but I do think that they're a talented pair of guys.
It's funny that all of your students were listening to this song when they have nothing to relate to. And then when you finally listen to it, you're like, this song's about me.
What's your name?
Lucifer. Exactly.
Lucifer brought out the sexy devil in all of us in 2016.
So Lucifer started as a show on Fox and then was canceled and was picked up by Netflix in 2018.
Also starred D.B. Woodside, Lauren German, Kevin Alejandro, and Tom Welling.
So Tom Ellis plays Lucifer Morningstar, a.k.a. the devil, Satan, the big guy downstairs. He gets bored in hell, relocates to Los Angeles, where he opens up a sexy nightclub, and then starts helping out a homicide detective, and then falls in love with her.
Lucifer was one of those shows that my brother and I were able to bond over. And I think it's just because, you know, it was just this badass dude, you know, you think he's like, you know, about to cause mayhem, which he does, but he's just too slick with it. And I want to be Lucifer Morningstar.
I took a quiz online that said something along the lines of, you know, if you like The X-Files, then you should watch these shows. And it turned out like 15 shows, and I had watched every single one of them except for Lucifer. So it's next on my list.
I am a huge Lucifer fan. My goodness gracious, Tom Ellis is a handsome devil. And I love that it was picked up by Netflix because then we got to see his butt cheeks.
Well, just about anywhere you turn, it is easy to spot someone playing Pokemon Go.
And neighbors in one metro community are complaining of trespassing because of the game.
In 2016, Pokemon Go got people out of their house to catch them all by making the real world a virtual playground for Pikachu, Charmander, and all of their friends.
And one that never played Pokemon Go, I was astounded at how many people liked Pokemon. I was like, wait a second, this is a thing I used to tease children for liking. And now all of these adults are out and about and are like upset. And so I was like, were you always obsessed with Pokemon and you were just waiting for something like this? Or are you just like catching the wave because it's the new thing?
I was not a player of this game and I was working at a restaurant in a mall at the time and there'd be events all the time. It drew crowds upon crowds outside of a restaurant. And I just said, if any of these people come in here to eat, I will leave.
I heard that there was a point where Pokemon Go would help people lose weight because they're finally getting off of their asses and going to the park. And I remember seeing just a bunch of strangers always standing next to each other at the mall, looking at their phones. I'm just like confused. They're just looking at something. But that eventually made me want to play.
I think that I am still one of the holdouts who still to this day plays Pokemon Go. I open that app nearly every day to catch the Pokies around me.
I remember this one time I was working at the Massachusetts State House and we were at the Senate chamber and there was like, you know, a hearing going on and I'm just here like playing Pokemon Go because in the chamber there was a Snorlax and I had to get it.
My husband and I would go Pokemon hunting in like the dead of night, and we definitely hopped some fences into some places that we shouldn't have gone to catch like Articunos and shit. So I'm sure there were some arrests made. And then I remember they had to change the rules in Pokemon Go because people were playing it while driving and getting into car accidents. And so you can't go over like a certain speed limit now and have the app open.
Actually, I remember seeing a bunch of people go to a church that was down the street from my house. And it was a Sunday and the church people were like, oh, my God, we have new people. That wasn't the case.
I do remember swearing that if they ever came out with a Harry Potter version, that I would be all about it. And then they did come out with a Harry Potter version and I played it once and hated it.
Going back to late August, there have been dozens of reports of threatening clowns, largely centered around schools and colleges. Many have been dismissed by law enforcement as pranks. But more than a dozen people have been arrested in connection with the sightings.
The Great Clown Panic of 2016 creeped us out big time. I mean, big time.
Dude, this just came out of nowhere. Like, a school in Cincinnati had to close after five students incited panic with threats of a clown clan descending upon their school.
This started in South Carolina in the summer of 2016. One woman reported seeing clowns whispering in the woods near her house. And then suddenly it was like, clowns everywhere, and everyone's posting online that they're seeing clowns in their neighborhood. And it was like something out of an episode of Supernatural.
Yeah, it got so serious that the panic even got a mention in a White House press briefing.
All I know is if I saw a clown, I would just surrender. I would let them take me because I'm so scared of them. I would not fight back or do anything.
I remember for some reason, I don't know if it was just me, but during this time, I was almost nervous for Halloween because I thought this was going to like blow out of proportion. But luckily, nothing happened.
I was always afraid that there was going to be like a clown serial killer, like John Wayne Gacy style again. People just kind of actually taking this too far. But I think for the most part, it's just a bunch of douchey kids scaring each other.
Yeah, I mean, it was 3 years after the first Purge movie came out. And so I know kids, again, at the high school were like, it's the Purge with clowns. And in fact, one student went so far as to, for the senior prank this year, play like a Purge thing over the announcements, and people were dressed as clowns and they had water guns. And I was like, this was very bad.
Fans couldn't be happier with what they're calling a wonderful Christmas gift. And the critics are also giving Beyoncé's album rave reviews.
Finding out about Becky with the good hair was just one of the surprises Beyoncé unleashed on us in 2016.
Dude, Beyoncé released this surprise album out of nowhere called Lemonade in 2016 as an hour-long collection of videos on HBO. And she also outed Jay-Z for cheating on her in Lemonade, which just blew everyone's minds.
Many speculated that the lyric referred to Jay-Z cheating on Beyoncé with a white woman. And at one point, fashion designer Rachel Roy seemed to confess to being Becky, which led to chef Rachel Ray briefly being a suspect.
The unique thing about this Lemonade album to me was that it was a surprise. There was no like warning or hint, you know, like in the days of now where Taylor Swift releases stuff and puts out some sort of cryptic message every 2 hours letting you know that she's about to release something. This just came out of nowhere. And that, I think, kind of started a pattern because I know Eminem did that, just dropped an album at midnight and said, hey, surprise, go check it out. And I feel like more and more artists saw the crazy success of Lemonade and thought, I'll do that too.
I remember seeing Beyoncé's performance at the Super Bowl that year too of Formation and just thinking it was ridiculously incredible. She is a powerhouse.
Yeah, speaking of Formation, that was one of my favorite songs on the album. But that song, Hold Up and Sorry, were all hits off the album, but all 12 songs actually charted on the Hot 100.
Who do we think Becky with the good hair was, y'all?
I think it was Shauna.
I was blonde in 2016. Shh, call me Jay-Z.
In the 2010s, Marvel dominated cinema, releasing epic blockbusters every year. This is the Marvel Minute for 2016. The Avengers took sides in Captain America: Civil War. Benedict Cumberbatch brought Doctor Strange to life. Marvel TV brought us the powerful and beautiful Luke Cage. Deadpool quipped his way to an R-rated adventure. And they were still making X-Men movies, this time with X-Men Apocalypse.
This is going to be a tough play.
Cubs win! Cubs win! Cubs win! In 2016, the Chicago Cubs finally won the World Series for the first time since 1908, breaking what many thought to be a curse.
They beat the Cleveland Indians 8-7 in Game 7 after a rain delay in the ninth inning.
They're the first team to come back from a 3-1 deficit to win since 1985.
Dexter Fowler, the first black man to play for the Cubs in a World Series game, led off the final inning with a solo home run.
I must say, even though I'm not a Cubs fan, I was super duper excited because a little fun fact about me, my cousin is Ron Coomer, who is the radio broadcaster for the Cubs. So him and Pat Hughes, who is his partner, were on the call for this game, and I could not have been more excited for him. He got a World Series ring, and let me tell you, that thing is massive and beautiful.
Being a fan of the Red Sox, I understand what a curse can bring to a team.
I get how excited everybody was when the Cubs won. I grew up going to Cubs games here in Arizona. Obviously, Cubs do spring training here. I played on my little league team was the Cubs, so I was a big Cubs fan. And I also just felt for Cubs fans because the Cardinals have never won a Super Bowl. So I know how painful that is. So very happy for the Cubs to win.
You know what I'm realizing? Every time somebody from the Red Sox goes to another team, they win the World Series, like the Cubs and the Dodgers, for example.
Baseball's lovable losers finally won a game. I don't know anything about baseball.
You know what? Screw that. We are scientists. Plus, Patty.
Thank you.
Okay, we believe in provable physical results. That's what we believe in.
Yes, we do.
Preach.
Preach. You know what we're going to do, ladies? We're going to catch a ghost. We're going to catch a ghost. Bring it back to the lab. Kevin?
Yes, boss.
Can you answer the phone that's ringing?
Patty.
Yes, I can, boss. Ghostbusters.
Who are you going to call when girl Ghostbusters ruin your childhood in 2016?
A gender-swapped Ghostbusters movie starring Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, and Leslie Jones, plus Chris Hemsworth as a dumb blonde secretary.
This movie had cameos from original cast members such as Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Annie Potts, Sigourney Weaver, Ernie Hudson, and a bust of Harold Ramis along with his son.
I'm just going to say, if girls playing Ghostbusters ruin your childhood, then you had a real shit childhood, you guys.
Yeah, this movie didn't get great reception from a lot of like fanboys who felt like it didn't stay true to the original movies. You know, it's the same garbage review bombing that we saw with movies like Captain Marvel. Anytime, you know, there's something that is female-led for whatever reason, especially in geek culture, a lot of fanboys decide to become internet warriors and munch on their Funyuns in their parents' basement and then attack the movie via, you know, the reviews, the online reviews. I felt like this movie was entertaining. It was funny from start to finish. My daughter loves it. It's her favorite of the three. I felt like it introduced Ghostbusters to a brand new generation of people. And though it's technically not considered canon, I guess, kind of set in an alternate universe, I feel like it's a solid addition to the Ghostbusters franchise and one that is pretty rewatchable and gets better, I think, the more you watch it.
Yeah, I mean, Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, Leslie Jones, those are some top names in comedy. I was excited to watch this movie. Do I remember anything about the movie? No.
Before we say goodbye to this year, let's take a moment to remember what we lost in 2016. We'd like to say rest in peace to the following. Brangelina. Apparently, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie were never meant to live happily ever after. The too cool for network TV show, The Muppets, sadly came to an end. And so many famous people died, it was hard to keep track. We lost these and so many more. David Bowie, Alan Rickman, Prince, Muhammad Ali, Anton Yelchin, Gene Wilder, Florence Henderson, George Michael, and Carrie Fisher, and her mom, actress Debbie Reynolds, who passed away within a day of each other. And that's a list of who and what we lost in 2016. It always hurts to say goodbye.
That wraps up Pop Culture Junkies. We love the 2010s, year 2016. Catch you in 2017.
We love the 2010s.
2017 is the year that gave us these important questions. Was Get Out terrifying, or are you a fragile white person? Is it a boy, a girl, or a tragic wildfire that destroyed 47,000 acres? Catch me outside. How about that? Pop Culture Junkie presents...
We love the 2010s.
Whatever it is, I can
no,
do it.
No,
let
no.
Let me do it.
It has to be me. It has to be me. I can save today. You can save the world.
DC brought the Amazonian warrior turned superhero Wonder Woman to the big screen finally in 2017.
This was finally the time that Wonder Woman's story was told in a way that it just worked out.
Yeah, this was the first time we really got to see what I feel like a really accurate representation of Wonder Woman on the screen, you know, since, I mean, we had the Linda Carter Wonder Woman, which is great in its own right, but I felt like the DCEU needed strong female superhero in its universe, and Wonder Woman delivered in every possible way. It was everything that I wanted from a superhero movie and everything that I wanted from this character.
Wonder Woman was directed by Patty Jenkins, and it starred Gal Gadot and Chris Pine.
It was the highest grossing DCU film of all time of its release and received better critical responses than Batman vs. Superman and Man of Steel.
I loved the Wonder Woman movie. I remember the scene where she is just storming through like a deserted field and just getting chills and starting to tear up just watching this badass chick. Just my feminist tears were flowing.
Ed Sheeran had a big hit in 2017 with the upbeat, danceable Shape of You off of his Divide album.
I love the Spin magazine review of this song that said it is a plausible attempt at convincing us that Ed Sheeran had sex.
See, I just found out that he wrote it with Rihanna in mind, which makes a lot of sense because whose mind isn't Rihanna in?
It's interesting because Ed Sheeran has written a number of songs for other artists like Taylor Swift and Keith Urban that it, when you listen to them and you know that Ed Sheeran wrote it, it makes sense.
It's the most streamed song of the decade on Spotify as of December 2019.
Ed Sheeran reminds me of a baby carrot.
My son was born at the end of 2016, and so I would sing lullabies to him to get him to go to sleep. And I had this moment where I would sing this song to him like every night, this little infant. And I had this moment where it was one of those like a Arrested Development singing Afternoon Delight karaoke, you know, where you're like, oh my gosh, what am I singing to my kid? Stop. I gotta stop this. So every time I hear this, I think of that. And I'm like, I hope I didn't scar my son for life.
I was asleep before. That's how we let it happen. When they slaughtered Congress, we didn't wake up. When they blamed terrorists and suspended the Constitution, we didn't wake up then either. Now I'm awake. My name is Offred. I had another name.
Trigger warning. The Handmaid's Tale debuted on Hulu, and it had everyone in 2017 hoping it was only a story. It could never happen in real life, right?
It stars Elizabeth Moss, Joseph Fiennes, Yvonne Strahovski, and Alexis Bledel in incredible roles all around. Just amazing acting.
It is based on a book by Margaret Atwood from 1985 about a dystopian society where fertile women were rounded up and given as breeding slaves to important men.
I was obsessed with The Handmaid's Tale when it first came out, and I'll admit that I stopped watching it because it just got too close to home.
Was one of those kind of like Attack on Titan where I didn't know what it was until I started seeing everyone cosplaying as the characters from Handmaid's Tale, not just at conventions, but at protests and all sorts of places. But it was wildly successful. First series created for streaming to win an Emmy for Outstanding Series.
They said it didn't happen overnight. These things happened slowly in the story. It was like bit by bit, their rights were chipped away until it was this society just dictated by men and religion. And it just felt a little too close in 2017.
Yeah, I definitely have to say that superb, just all around. I love this show. It definitely tugs at your heart. And you know, it really, hopefully, we can use it as a lesson to like see how similar reality and imagination can be and how much it's up to us to really go the right path or one that's better for everyone.
Breaking news out of Manchester, England tonight. A deadly blast outside of an Ariana Grande concert, killing at least 22, injuring at least 59. Police treating this as a terrorist incident. The leading theory, a suicide bomber.
Ariana Grande made headlines in 2017, but it was for a tragic event that took place at a concert in the UK.
22 people, including some children, died at her May 22nd, 2017 concert in the Manchester Arena when a suicide bomber detonated an explosive device after the concert ended while people were still filing out and kids were waiting to be picked up by their parents.
Yeah, I remember this. This was horrible. And I remember Ariana Grande had such a hard time after this, returning to performing, and she was absolutely devastated. And I just think these types of things are made more awful when you realize, you know, why everyone's there. Everyone's there to celebrate and to be happy and to dance and to sing. And then for someone to do something so horrific like this, it was just absolutely tragic.
She posted on Twitter, "Broken from the bottom of my heart. I am so sorry. I don't have words."
Yeah. She then hosted a benefit concert called One Love Manchester to raise funds for the Red Cross. And the people who were at the first show were able to attend for free.
It's not even the holidays, and a new toy has twirled into our lives, fidget spinners.
The gadget that everyone had in 2017 wasn't electronic. It was a tiny toy that fit on the tip of your finger.
Ugh, the fidget spinner. This was a toy that you could spin on its ball bearing axis. Super simple. You could spin it around in your fingers. I hated this thing. I know I keep drawing back to my experiences as a teacher, but fidget spinners were so annoying because all the kids had them. And suddenly it was like every single one of my students was diagnosed with ADHD. All of a sudden they're like, "I need it, miss, for my ADHD." I'm like, "What? Since when? Since when do you need this?" And now I kind of wish we could go back to fidget spinners because I hate their stupid phones and TikTok. So there's no winning, I guess.
I really need a doctor to chime in on this. And does a fidget spinner treat ADHD, or is that a bunch of bullshit? I honestly, like, if it does, then bless it. But I need to know.
I remember just seeing them everywhere. And I tried so hard not to even just be fazed by it, just like walk by like it doesn't even bother me. But when there's nobody looking, I always make sure I get a little spin.
Yeah, I feel like people were kind of competing in like the coolest ways that they could spin it, like tip of their finger, just like in random, like, I don't know, random spots. I feel like you could spin it anywhere.
The distracted boyfriend meme started with a little known stock photo and became a huge meme in 2017.
It's a picture of a guy who's holding hands with one girl, turning around very clearly to check out another woman walking by.
The images photographer, Antonio Guillem from Barcelona, wasn't pleased that people were using his image without paying royalties. And this thing was literally everywhere. And it was sort of like, representing disloyalty and this sort of like in romance. But I would see memes that weren't even connected to that. It's like, I'm in love with mac and cheese, but over there I see the spaghetti.
Yeah, this is my favorite one. Someone photoshopped the middle guy to look like J. Jonah Jameson from Spider-Man. And the girl he's ogling says pictures of Spider-Man. And the girl that he's turning away from says the journalistic integrity of my newspaper.
There's other photos in this group of this photo shoot starring this guy and the two women. And in some of them, other people are checking out other people or they're laughing and they're happy. So I feel like there's a whole unknown story out there that we all need to uncover.
Yeah, I know, like later on, they made a meme where the two girls were ending up looking at each other. And I love that one.
This meme is still like very relevant. I see it all the time.
Did you say the hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes.
Yep. Catch me outside. How about that?
Huh?
Catch me outside. How about that?
13-year-old Danielle Bregoli appeared on the Dr. Phil show in 2017 and challenged an audience member to a fight, saying, "Catch me outside. How about that?"
My favorite part about this whole interaction was Dr. Phil going, "So you think the audience are a bunch of hoes?"
I can't ever hear this or think about this without laughing because it's so stupid. And what's even more stupid, I think, is that it led to her trying to start a rap career and making a song out of this catchphrase. And there was some trap remix of it. And it's like the She was like the Island Boys on TikTok, but before the Island Boys.
Yeah, definitely OG. You know, she definitely became a personality immediately after it aired, I feel. And honestly, it took me until just recently to realize that her name is Bad Baby and not Bad Barbie.
I thought it was Bad Barbie for years.
She's really big on TikTok now. And to be honest, I feel like she's kind of normaled out just a little bit. And some of the things she posts on TikTok, I sit there and I'm like, this girl is actually kind of smart. Like, she has some good ideas on there.
She has learned from Dr. Phil.
Does anybody embody the decade more than singer, actor, fashion icon Lady Gaga? Answer, no. In the year of our Lady Gaga, 2017, she went on tour for Joanne, which I attended, was the headlining act at the Super Bowl, had a Netflix documentary called 5 Foot Two, and headline Coachella. And that's the year of Our Lady Gaga, 2017 edition. Blessed be.
What?
Do they know I'm black?
Should they?
You might wanna, you know.
Mom and Dad, my black boyfriend will be coming up this weekend. I just don't want you to be shocked that he's a black man.
Get Out dominated 2017. The movie was a critical success and a box office smash. It was Jordan Peele's Oscar-winning script and his directorial debut. It stars Daniel Kaluuya, Allison Williams, and Lil Rel Howery.
Yeah, the plot of this movie is absolutely horrifying. Allison Williams' character brings home her boyfriends and girlfriends of color to meet her family, only to literally sell them off to the highest bidder.
It made $255 million worldwide on a $4.5 million budget. So that is absolutely insane.
I feel like this movie was cast really well. And the white people in this movie are terrifying without the plot. I mean, I've always been terrified of Bradley Whitford, so I thought they chose very well.
The white people are so terrifying in this movie, especially because they're trying to feed him this fake wokeness throughout the movie. Like, I would have voted for Obama three times if I had the chance to.
It's good to hear white people talk about how terrifying white people are, because I've known this my whole life.
A big win for Latin music this week as Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee's Despacito launches into the Billboard Hot 100's top 10 thanks to the Justin Bieber remix of the song.
Despacito was a smash hit song in 2017, but it also became famous for its parodies, remixes, and memes.
The only thing I remember about this song is everyone saying Despacito and Dorito and just making fun of Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber was a dick when this song came out. Like, he was on the English language remix and he was performing at one point and didn't know the Spanish words. And so he just said, like, burrito, burrito. Ha, ha, ha. So that was pretty embarrassing. But to Justin Bieber, so how shocking is that?
What I know of this song is I tried my best to learn as many of the Spanish lyrics as I could, so I could sing along with it as I would with any other song. And it wasn't until I had been singing this song for a good 6 months that I looked up the translation of the lyrics and realized some of the sexually explicit things that I was singing in my car by myself.
Oh, it gets real nasty.
It is kind of cool that Daddy Yankee was the first Latino artist to hit number one on Spotify with this song. The song is by Puerto Rican artist Luis Fonsi featuring Daddy Yankee.
I feel like I'm starting to see a trend where all these top songs that happen are songs that I get frustrated at because they get overplayed. And that's what Despacito did.
From the fast-talking women of Gilmore Girls to the lovable bromancers on Psych, reunions were all the rage this season.
Why come up with an original idea when you can steal one? Revivals of hit shows were all the rage in 2017.
Networks brought back shows like Will and Grace, Twin Peaks, Prison Break, One Day at a Time, Dynasty, and even DuckTales.
Wet Hot American Summer, 10 years later, with Paul Rudd, Elizabeth Banks, and Christopher Maloney, was a sequel to the prequel First Day of Camp, released 2 years earlier, where everyone played younger versions of the characters they portrayed in 2001's Wet Hot American Summer.
I just think that 2017 was such a hard time politically for everybody that we were all just clinging to nostalgia as much as we could. Like, can I please just have that revival of that thing that brought me comfort from childhood?
I am a fan of the idea behind a revival. Like, every time there is a revival, I get excited about it. I watched the Will and Grace revival. I watched the X-Files revival. I watched Fuller House. I've watched all the things for that exact reason. It taps into my nostalgia. For the most part, I'm let down. Very, very few instances of being pleased with a revival. And so now I proceed with caution anytime a revival is announced, but I still welcome them. I like it. Keep bringing back the old stuff. Just do it better.
Promotional video sure made it look tempting. Top supermodels like Bella Hadid and Alessandra Ambrosio in an ad for a music festival on an island in the Bahamas. Singer Ja Rule, one of the organizers, promised history will be televised. Fans paid up to $12,000 expecting five-star accommodations and gourmet food. This is what they got. Disaster relief tents and mattresses piled up in the dirt.
Fyre Festival was supposed to be a luxury music festival, but it was really an unmitigated disaster.
The Fyre Festival is so effing funny. Like, it was promoted on Instagram by all of these models who later disclosed that they were paid to do so. All these rich people show up to what they think is going to be just like the most lit ass luxury weekend. And they all have to stay in tents in the mud and eat like cheese sandwiches all weekend. And all of the acts dropped out. Like, nothing warms my middle class heart more than watching rich people suffer.
It's funny because later on there were so many documentaries on it that everybody like had to talk about why it failed, and it brought up scam culture.
My favorite part about one of the documentaries was Blowjob Guy. So he was asked to perform oral sex on a customs agent in return for getting water to the festival site. And in the documentary, he says, "And I got to his office fully prepared to suck his dick."
It must have been Dasani.
And as you can imagine, this event was eventually canceled due to problems with security, food, accommodation, and medical services.
Billy McFarland, the ultimate scam artist who put this whole thing together, did end up going to prison, and he's currently held in prison in Ohio. And just recently, back in April, he found a way to get onto somebody's podcast, which is called Dumpster Fyre, spelled like F-Y-R-E. And he recorded an episode of this podcast from prison, and then he got busted and had to spend 23 hours in solitary confinement. And then they like added to his charges because he broke the rules. So he can't stop. I just think he can't stop. It's in his nature to suck.
One of the most destructive trends from 2017 started with something relatively wholesome: a gender reveal party.
Yeah, in April 2017, a couple held a gender reveal party in Green Valley, Arizona, kind of south of Tucson. But someone shot at two makeshift targets in the desert, one saying boy and one saying girl. After the target was hit, a wildfire immediately started and burned 47,000 acres and did $8 million worth of damage.
This has continued to happen, and the parents will be charged. And I saw one of the dads, he went to prison for burning down forests and having to evacuate towns. I'm like, can you imagine your kid being born and you're in prison all because you had to blow up stuff to tell people about the gender of your kid? I can't imagine. I will never be able to understand that.
There were other gender reveal tragedies that included one in Southern California that sparked a fire that forced evacuation of the whole town, one that caused a plane crash in Texas, and an explosive device that went off in Iowa, killing a woman who was one of the baby's grandmothers.
I generally think gender reveal parties are super cringy as it is. They always run these very old school, like, boys like blue and girls like pink. Is she going to wear a dress or is he going to play with trucks? Like, maybe just have your baby and then they can figure out what they want to wear and what they want to do as they get older. And you don't really care about your arbitrary gender roles. End rant.
The inventor of gender reveal parties, Jenna Carvunitas, posted that this needed to stop burning things down to tell everyone about their kid's penis.
It's now a year since the hashtag MeToo went viral, a movement that gained momentum after this tweet from actress Alyssa Milano, encouraging women who have been sexually harassed or assaulted to speak out. The hashtag being used more than 19 million times. The conversation about a typically taboo topic sweeping the nation, ultimately uprooting many in high-powered positions.
The hashtag MeToo movement began with the downfall of producer Harvey Weinstein, who is facing repercussions for sexual assault that had allegedly been going on for years.
Survivor Tarana Burke originated the phrase on MySpace back in 2006. So that's a long time ago. And she's the actual founder of the movement, but it didn't pick up steam until 2017.
Yeah. In 2017, it became a hashtag after actress Melissa Milano called on everyone who had ever been sexually harassed or assaulted to just put up a hashtag, Me Too.
I felt completely empowered by this movement. I think that it definitely kind of showed that you're not alone in your experiences and that there's no shame and that anything that happened to you is not your fault. And it gave people courage to really be like, hey, it happened to them. It happened to me too. Oh, it could even happen to somebody like Gwyneth Paltrow, Jennifer Lawrence, like all these celebrities. Even men were feeling empowered by this, you know, like Terry Crews and Brendan Fraser both spoke out with the Me Too hashtag.
I think it was very eye-opening to see how many people were involved in this movement, and just goes to show that it can literally happen to anyone. And more than likely someone you know or sitting across from you at work, school, wherever, it has been involved in this movement in some way.
This hit close to home for me. People very close to me are have been victims of sexual harassment and sexual assault. And their courage in sharing their experiences changed my life and I know has changed the lives of countless people around them. And made me very aware from a young age of the harsh realities of just existing in our society.
It brought awareness to something that a lot of people kind of sweep under the rug or like, oh, it's not as bad as, you know, people make it out to be. Like, no, look how many people on your timeline are posting this.
In the 2010s, Marvel dominated cinema, releasing epic blockbusters every year. This is the Marvel Minute for 2017. The Guardians of the Galaxy went on another adventure in Volume 2. Spider-Man returned in Homecoming. In more sequel news, Thor redeemed the franchise with Ragnarok. There was more Marvel on the small screen with Iron Fist, The Defenders, Runaways, and The Punisher all debuting this year. And Wolverine expanded on the story of the X-Men's most bankable star. And that's the Marvel Minute for the year 2017.
TikTok is a mobile-first platform for creating and sharing short videos. Most tend to be about 15 seconds long, though the app does allow videos up to 60 seconds in length.
Can you believe we didn't have TikTok until 2017? It was formerly known as Musical.ly, and I remember my six-year-old little cousin over here making little Musical.ly videos, dancing around, and I'm like, I mean, I guess it's cool that she's being, you know, physical and getting some exercise, but she asked me to do one, and when I was recording it, I had to speak in a really slow way so that it can do the Musical.ly thing. And now it's a craze. Now we're making money out of it.
I made a TikTok account, I want to say maybe in 2019, and I posted this car rant of myself that I had been, like, originally sent as a Snapchat to my friends. And I was like, oh, what the hell? I'll put it on my TikTok account. This thing got like 100,000 shares, a million views. It was ridiculous and completely overwhelming. And the people in the comments were brutal, y'all. They eviscerated my hair, my nose ring, my outfit. I got so overwhelmed that I deleted it. I was just like, fame has its consequences, you guys.
Yeah, I didn't join TikTok till 2020 when I was in quarantine and felt like I had nothing better to do than learn some stupid TikTok dances with my kids. And I kind of discovered the same thing. The algorithm on TikTok is very strange because you can have something that is really funny and original and fantastic and it will get zero interactions. And then you will have something that you kind of post as a joke and it blows up and everybody sees it, which is what I did. I had just gotten my haircut kind of short and shaggy. And I all growing up, I've been teased and whatever, made fun of for looking like different male celebrities like David Spade or the Hanson brothers. And so I decided to troll on TikTok and say that I was a Hanson brother. And I thought it would be obvious that I wasn't, but it blew up and everybody in the comment section either A, accused me of trying to get clout for pretending to be famous when I was clearly being stupid, or B, they believed that I was a Hanson brother and they were asking me questions about like what it was like to be in Hanson. And I just fell into this deep depression. Like, I thought it was a joke, but apparently I really do look like a Hanson brother. And then I too deleted all of my TikTok videos.
Before TikTok, I used to go on Vine all the time, that, and then it turned into TikTok and I live on TikTok 24/7. I'm obsessed. And I wish I could say that I've blown up on TikTok. I've been trying, but it's just not working. So maybe that's for the better after hearing you guys' stories. Before we say goodbye to this year, let's take a moment to remember what we lost in 2017. We like to say rest in peace to the following: rock legends Chris Cornell and Chester Bennington, who took their own lives; Hugh Hefner boinked his last bunny; Adam West, TV's Batman, bid the world adieu; the world finally got enough of dabbing; and Harvey Weinstein's career deservedly was finished. And that's a list of who and what we lost in 2017. It always hurts to say goodbye.
That wraps up Pop Culture Junkies. We love the 2010s, year 2017. Catch you in 2018.
Pop Culture Junkie is a production of Pop Culture Entertainment Group. So entertain me!